Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. The title of the show is Long Island Brewing, Pretzel Making, and Pork. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. Thanks to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. You can learn more about beer, check out the Beer Cloud mobile app, and take the Great Brewers test. Figure out your beer knowledge. And we're supported by the people at the Good Beer Seal. Check out GoodBrewSeal.com. We've got a very cool show tonight. My friend Chris Kuzmi is here.
Hey, Jimmy.
Chris, you guys just had the homebrew alley from the New York City Homebrewers Guild. How did that go?
It was amazing. It was amazing. We had 670 entries or that registered for it, and we had 650 beers that showed up. We had 52 judges, 30 stewards, and it was just an amazing ordeal to get through some really, really talented homebrewers out there, and to get through it all was awesome.
I remember just 5 years ago, you guys had, what was the first year you had about 100 entries? Was that it?
We had about 200 entries the first year. And yeah, it's grown exponentially, and I expect it to be over like in the area of 800 next year, undoubtedly. And on that note, like the National Homebrewers Conference, just to speak to this and the popularity of homebrewing, the National Homebrewers Conference tickets went on sale on February 1st. By February 3rd, they were completely sold out. We're talking about almost 3,000 tickets, and I'm actually on a waiting list. I didn't make it. Mary made it. My partner Mary made it, and I'm waiting to see if I can. I'll be there.
On that note, the rise of the homebrew movement. We're starting to see a lot of new startup breweries come through, and whether they're graduates of UC Davis, like the guys from Bronx Brewery, or homebrewers who are ready for the next step up, we've seen quite a few. And on today's show, we've got the guys from Montauk Brewing Company, another soon-to-be commercial brewer. Let's introduce the guys. We've got Vaughn Cotillo. And if, say your name if I didn't say it right.
No, you got it.
All right, Vaughn Cotillo. Vaughn? Joe Sullivan.
Hey, how's it going?
And Joe Eric Sullivan. Moss from Montauk Brewing. So tell us about you guys. I mean, you guys are just getting started. So tell us the backstory and what you guys plan to do and where you're located and everything.
Basically, this is kind of a three-year project in the running where, we started out as homebrewers, brewing in the basement, brewing out of the picnic coolers, doing the whole, homebrewer thing. Now we're kind of seeing the opportunity to, open up a brewery in Montauk, our hometown that does not have a brewery. So, three of us came together. Eric went to school out in Colorado, kind of started the whole brewing idea out there, brought it home to Montauk, and three of us got together, tested out a bunch of batches, put it out to our friends to see if it was actually drinkable, and turns out it is, or at least they tell us it is. So just kind of running with it from there.
So along the way, you've had some people give you suggestions and inspiration. Who have you been talking to in the beer and food community?
It was really kind of enjoyable for us to learn about the whole beer industry. Everybody's kind of opened their arms to us. Specifically, Don Sullivan, who runs Southampton Public House. He's built quite an operation out there, and he opened his contact lists. He was really open to kind of teaching us how to, start our business, what to avoid, what to retain, and we've kind of grown from there. So we started, when Joe approached me and said, hey, do you have any interest in doing this thing and doing it for real? We found the right people who have given us great kind of information on how to get to the next step.
And who is this guy? This is Eric.
Yeah, I'm Eric.
And who's designated the brewer? Are you guys all the brewers? Are you the? Well, you have jobs, right? So what's your job, Joe?
Yeah, so we're all technically brewers. We're all, you know, we all get our hands in on it. But Eric's really the one who's coming up with our recipes and kind of leading the charge with that. So we're looking to start out with an ESB. But Eric, I'll let you take this here.
Yeah, I mean, we decided to go start out with an ESB. I tried to put the recipe together, and we've brewed a bunch of test batches, and we all get together.
Chris, what do you think about this ESB?
I love this ESB. It's it's stronger than an average ESB, though, right? We're at 6%. You said?
Yeah, we're about 6%.
It's got a really nice. I mean, the B is definitely there. The bittering there is definitely bitter. Definitely decently highly hopped, and it's really quaffable. Every sip, I want another sip. I mean, when I'm done with that sip, I can't wait for the next one. And there's a really that maris otter, that peanut butter kind of quality in there is really really nice.
Yeah, we went with American hops with this one. We stayed away from Americanized the ESB a little bit,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a hybrid for that. But I hear you were talking before we actually went online talking about how you wanted to go do an ESB instead of starting with an IPA or like the highly hopped kind of a lot of breweries these days. I mean, we're a lot of American breweries. I mean, we're American. We like American hops. We like the really hop. We've created a culture of hop heads. And finally, we're starting to branch away from that a little bit.
Yeah, we didn't want to get in that whole, we'll try to go a little different way.
And so you want this ESB to be the flagship for, at least at the start, for Montauk?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's, obviously we'll get into the IPAs, and Eric's a huge Porter fan, so he's been chomping at the bit to brew that for us. And we kind of pared it down to this ESB. It's a great beer, very drinkable, and, it's a great kind of, Montauk's a summer destination, as, a lot of people know, so we wanted something we could have in our tasting room and share with a lot of different people, and something that everybody would like, beer connoisseurs, and then people just passing through say, hey, I'd like to try a Montauk, an MBC beer, something new, and we're happy with this.
And did anybody steer you towards doing an ESB? Any of the advisors you had or people you talked to?
That was Eric. I'll give him the credit for that one. We were suggested to stay away from the IPA as our first beer, which, I like an IPA, but it wasn't going to be the first beer. We're not going to avoid trends, but it was something we picked this a little different, but I'll give Eric the credit for that one. He enjoyed, designing it and brewing it, so...
Chris, it's true. I mean, IPAs now, they're omnipresent. You see every brewery's making one. They're almost interchangeable. Sometimes I think an IPA is just a hopped pale ale the way a lot of people make them.
Well, I mean, that's... Yeah. Absolutely. Well said. Speaking from experience a little bit, I mean, we started a brewery, Wandering Star, 6-7 months ago, and with the same idea in mind, and we are just now coming out with our first IPA. A lot of people are very excited. Chris is happy to do it, but he doesn't like IPAs very much at all. He doesn't like overly hopped things, but I think this one will be fun. I haven't tasted it yet, but I mean, it's taken us 7 months as a brewery to even get to thinking about an IPA along these same lines, but it should be fun.
All right. So Montauk Brewery, you guys are really trying hard. Tell me what you're doing going forward. Like, you brought some beers today. Where did you make these beers?
So we made these beers a few weeks ago out in Montauk. We have our location, used to be a woodworking shop in Montauk, converting to a brewery. Initially, we're actually going to be starting out contract brewing. We fought the idea for a couple of years, wanting to, have our hands completely in everything that we're doing. But after trying to work it over, number-wise, what we can actually come up with, we decided to start out with contract brewing. So, initially our recipes are designed in Montauk, but we're actually going to be working with a brewery upstate to...
Which one's that?
We're working with Butternut's Beer and Ale.
So how did you get contact with them? Because I know that the guys from Spider Bite... a few other people are also having their beer made there. Are they actively looking for new brewers to make beer with them?
Yeah, as far as I know, they had recently acquired the Cooperstown Brewery, so they opened up that. So they've got a 14-barrel system and a 20-barrel system now. And we actually found them through Pro Brewer. Go Pro Brewer. It's a great spot to, post, if you're looking for anything to try to get into the brewing industry. Pro Brewer helped out quite a bit.
Awesome. Yeah, and Chuck's been, I mean, Chuck at Butternuts, he's, you know, helped us. We went up to his operation up in Garrettsville, and he just opened his arms to us also. We went into his tasting room. We checked out his facility, and right off the bat kind of got a good vibe, and he was willing to work with us on recipes and really help us kind of take it to the next step.
All right. Have you guys tried these pretzels yet?
Not yet.
What pretzels are those, Jimmy?
Well, I'm going to give a shout-out. Sigmund's Pretzels, located in New York. We'll talk to Lena. Oh, we can talk to you now. Hi,
hey,
Lena.
Jimmy.
Come on, jump on.
How's it going?
I love your pretzels. I'm eating them. And tell us about your pretzels.
Well, we opened in 2009 on Lower East Side. You can call it East Village. It's on Avenue B. And it's been 2 years. We grew. We started off in a tiny little kitchen, and I pretty much worked 24 hours a day. It's a traditional preparation. It's a German-style pretzel. It's a light-dip pretzel, and everything is handmade. It's long fermentation. We're not a sourdough bread, but it's a 24-hour fermentation, so you feel this zing of the sourdough. And I think our shtick is flavors. We have, of course, classical salted, but we have about 10 different flavors. We put cheese, and we have feta olive, and we have garlic, and we have cinnamon, and we have all kinds of seeds, and then we do all kinds of wacky things for people for their...
I love pretzels, yeah. and a good pretzel is hard to make.
Yeah. It's not an easy bread. On top of all regular challenges of bread making, understanding it and being able to adjust the temperatures to the weather, to the quality of the ingredients that come in, you also have to know the particular lye dipping powder.
So what is it? It's L-Y-E, it's lye.
Yeah, it's a sodium hydroxide.
Poison?
It's a poison. If not handled properly.
Do you have a certificate to handle poison?
You need to know how to build out your facility and how to handle it. But it's neutralized by the heat. What it does, it cooks the surface. It cooks the sugars in the flour, and it allows to bake the pretzel without the steam. If you know, like usually bread is first steamed in the ovens. That lets the bread rise, and then it's cooked by the heat. Pretzels don't need it because of this treatment. But on top of it, lye just adds the shine, this particular pretzel-y taste and the smoothness. But this added step was something I had to figure out how to do because I was never pretty much trained at bread baking. I'm trained as a pastry chef, but bread was my own discovery.
All right. I know you sell at a lot of beer bars around town.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of interest from what should have been an obvious place, a bar, a beer garden, and we're working with a few beer gardens.
Tell us about a couple of the beer bars that you sell to.
Well, our first client was the DBA.
Our
Ray
good
came
friend
in.
Ray.
Yes.
Cheers to Ray.
Cheers to Ray.
Cheers to Ray. Yeah.
He came in a month after we opened. He came to the shop. We're 2 blocks away from each other in East Village. And they have been our clients since. And we work with Moglitz establishments where we sell to Standard Beer Garden. We have worked with Spitzenhaus in Greenpoint. There's a lot of smaller places like Cannibal, Brooklyn here, like tiny places that also do a very nice beer program. And we would like to continue with that. It looks like this is something that is probably, surprisingly enough, not a traditional menu item on the beer garden's menu, but it should be. The way it is now, I was surprised to find out, people import frozen product from Germany. So they import baked frozen pretzels, and they keep them for months in their freezers. And this is how you eat them in majority of places that sell them, in the city, at least. So we would like to...
So it's like Wonder Bread. It's like...
Well, no. Not, I would say the quality is not as awful. Of course, they use preservatives and they use conditioners. And it's, of course, it's done by machines. And for the machine to make something like that, the dough has to be stabilized. So it doesn't, you know, act out depending on the weather. So those are not all natural product, but still a pretzel, more than Wonder Bread is a bread. Yeah, but it's a frozen item, and it's not. Again, I would say that our pretzels are different in a way that I think the New Yorkers in particular like a pretzel to be a chewy and more of a doughy than a German pretzel. which is fluffier and more bread-like than a pretzel.
Well, talking about food and beer, pretzels and beer, that's a good thing, pretzels and beer. Are you guys going to have pretzels at your brewery? What's going to happen with the brewery? So you, right now you're contracting. One day you will have a brewery in Montauk?
Or right. So the building we have in Montauk is, you know, this late spring, early summer, we're going to be opening our tasting room with the beer that's contracted, designed in Montauk, brewed elsewhere. And that is right in downtown Montauk. So we will have the tasting room open there, and it will be available in local bars and restaurants there. And the building is large enough and has been, you know, East Hampton Town has been very good about kind of welcoming us and the idea of the brewery in Montauk. So the building is actually large enough and approved now for a 15-barrel system, which, when we're ready, this was kind of a way for us to get our feet wet, you know, test the market and keep testing our small batch system while also putting a product out, kind of larger quantity product that we've come up with. When the time's right and the, you know, we're all fairly young here and when the time's right to take that next step, the large investment, you know, we're eager to do that. We're, you know, it's going to be a fully operational, fully functional microbrewery.
Do you guys have a website?
We have a website right now that's in the works. MontaukBrewingCo.com. As of today, the 7th, it's not up, but soon it will be. So feel free to look into it in the future. We are on Facebook. So, you know, go ahead and like Montauk Brewing Company on Facebook.
All right. Let's just give a quick shout out. Chris, you're here with, as well as being a homebrew guy, you're here with Patrick Donaher and Annie Likes Beer and Mary Isette to talk about another Get Real event, Apocalypse. Patrick, just say hello quickly.
Hello, Jimmy.
All right, well, get on the microphone, mate. Come on. Come on, mate. Come on, mate. Just say hello. This is Patrick.
Exactly. Isn't that what they
give
say?
Us a quick.
Isn't that what they say in Ireland?
We will talk to you. We will talk to you in a few minutes, but just come on, mate. Say hello.
Hey, Jimmy. Good to be back again.
So tell us about your event. What's the name of it? What's the website?
The website is getrealny.com. It's our fifth event we're doing now. As usual, everything got to do with beer, everything craft, we throw in to Get Real. And this time is Apocalypse, where we've got 12 chefs.
Apocalypse?
Apocalypse.
Oh, like the movie.
Yeah.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, well, a pork. Lots of pork.
And are you going to have Lena's Sigmund pretzels there?
Well, just after tasting them, I think we have to.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we're setting you guys up. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes to talk more about Apocalypse on Beer Sessions Radio. Smoky.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right. Smoky Joe's Cafe. One day while I was eating beans. Smoky Joe's Cafe. Just sitting digging all the scene. Smoky Joe's Cafe. A chick came walking through the door that I had never seen before. At least I never saw her now. At Smokey Joe's Cafe. Ooh, and I started shaking when she sat right down next to me. Ooh, her knees were almost touching mine. At Smokey Joe's Cafe. A chill was running down my spine. At Smokey Joe's Cafe. Oh, I could smell a sweet perfume. She smiled at me, my heart went boom. Then everybody in the room. At Smokey Joe's Cafe. They said, man, be careful. That chick belongs to Smokey Joe. From behind the counter, I saw a man. A chef hat on his head and a knife in his hand. He grabbed me by my collar and began to shout.
You better eat up all your beans and bar and clear right on out.
Yes, I know I'll never eat again
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
And so we'll never meet again
at Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio and the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks.
We have an awesome studio. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 9 people in the studio. That might be a record, but maybe not. And Mary Isette just came in from My Life on Craft. This Get Real NYC thing is really growing, man. You got Mary Isette, Chris Kuzme, Annie Likes Beer, Patrick Donaher. It's a pretty cool group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We after the first couple of events we've done, we decided that this company seems to be growing pretty quick, and we want to do a few more festivals in New York, and we want to bring it across country too. So after talking to the older committee, we said, let's bring on a few more new faces and get more ideas and right. get things rocking. So we did, and we brought on Anne, who's just going crazy with ideas over here.
So, yeah, get real. Annie, say hello. I call you Annie Likes Beer because that's your Facebook
handle. That's fine. That's everyone does.
Anne Likes Beer. So what's going on? You're part of this beer event group now.
Yeah, it's great. I think one of the things that I love about these festivals is just making beer and food and pairings and everything really accessible to people. And it's one of my favorite things about the industry, about you know the culture in general. And I think this is a really good way to get people introduced. So yeah, Get Real is a great way to do it. February 25th, we're all looking really looking forward to it.
I would say in this room we have two of the more esteemed women in beer in America, and you are you're part of a Cicerone program. What level are you at?
The level 2, the certified Cicerone. Was talking about probably going to end up taking the Master Cicerone test next year. Going to start to get to studying on that one, but not just yet.
All right, and Mary Isett, My Life on Craft. You're in a beer judging circles. What level are you at?
I'm a national beer judge.
For the what's it called? The
Beer Judge Certification Program. So it's an international not-for-profit organization to certify or to basically train judges for homebrew competitions.
Wow. I know about it, but I don't know about it. I know that we have the New York City Homebrewers Guild. You guys lead classes.
Yep, absolutely,
like
every year.
The BJCP classes. But what is this? Is this part of the Craft Brewers Conference or
so it's
National Homebrew thing?
It's not officially part of the American Homebrewers Organization or the Brewers Association, but I think it's an independent organization.
The BJCP started in conjunction with the American Homebrewers right. Association, and they together put together this program to basically train judges to acutely give positive and helpful feedback to brewers starting out. So by identifying problems or by identifying off flavors and telling a brewer how they can avoid these flavors. And the way it works is beers are judged by style, not necessarily is this beer good or bad.
Right. And it's a pretty intense training program. So the New York City Homebrewers Guild has run classes since 2006. Every year we've had an exam every year. We always have actually more demand than seats for the exam. It's a pretty intense training program.
Why is that? I know there was a class, for example, you guys do a class at Jimmy's number 43. It starts with right. like 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
By the end, only a certain amount of people can take the
right.
test.
Right. We had seats for a dozen. The thing is, it's an essay-driven exam, so there are 10 essay questions. And then you have to taste and rate and judge 4 beers. So it's pretty intensive for the graders. It takes a long time to grade. So the BJCP currently limits the number of people that can take the exam at any site just because it's so time consuming to grade.
Right. And there up until now, there weren't enough people volunteering to grade these exams. These exams will be changed. They're computerizing it and they'll be online soon. And there's going to be a new format. It was supposed to be in effect in December, but hopefully in months to come, it'll be better and streamlined.
So, and is there a website to learn more about it?
Yep, bjcp.org.
Wow, that's easy.
Exactly.
All right. So, Patrick, so you've surrounded yourself with this very interesting group of really smart beer people.
Yes.
Mary, Chris, and so we're going to put
on
you to the
evening,
test right now.
Even more smart
okay.
than Monday morning.
There's two tests. So, Mary, you brought a really good beer. What is the beer?
Yeah, so I brought actually a brand new beer. It's one of my favorite styles are smoked beers, and I bought this new beer from Bee United called the, I don't even know how you say it, the Pivo Grodziski, but it's basically a traditional Grotzer ale, which is kind of an obscure style of smoked beer. It's a sour smoked beer. So it's kind of a smoked Berliner Weiss. This is part of the Dr. Fritz Breem series. And it's very nice, actually. I actually homebrewed one of these last year. You might have had it. Traditionally, I think it was made with 100% wheat. This is made with not 100% wheat. It's made with some smoked barley and some smoked wheat. It's soured. It goes through a sour mash process. It's a lower alcohol, very refreshing, a little bit smoky.
What alcohol percentage is it?
I don't know. I need to... Because usually the ones I've had traditionally were between like 2.9. That's 4%. So the ones I've had traditionally were like 2.9 to 3.5. This is apparently 4%. So still, you know, very pretty low alcohol for a craft ale. And this is really nice, actually. I get more sourness from it than smoke. But it's got...
Mary, what do you think about the use of smoked malts? What do you think it adds to a beer? What do you think?
She loves it.
That's a tricky question, Jimmy.
Well, does it mean can you use less hops if you have more smoked malt, or can you?
No, I think it's all about the balance. And also, when you look at smoked malt, so there's only a limited number of smoked malts that are available, and they do vary in amount of smokiness and kind of, you know, contribution to flavor and aroma. So I think it's all about the balance in smoked beers. So, I mean, you definitely wouldn't want... I mean, I've had some beers that were overwhelmingly smoky, and that's all you get from them. And I think that's unfortunate. I mean, you want balance in your beer. You want a decent amount of bitterness and a decent amount of smokiness and, you know, some hoppiness.
Does the game change if you're pairing it with pork?
Well, let's talk about that's a good balance. But let's go to the question.
Excuse me, but it is.
Listen, you guys are making a name for yourselves. Let's get real. But now we're gonna ask some tough questions. And I want Patrick Donaher to answer. Okay.
Oh, here we go.
This is from the greatbrewers.com. They're good beer tests. All right. First question. I have to read you the answers, and then you have to tell me which one. Okay, Patrick. This is a tough one. I don't know. Well, prior to Prohibition, most of the taverns and saloons were owned directly by the brewers in what was called a something system, two-tier, three-tier, tied house, or brewery-controlled system.
Shading, what was it last to me? I thought you were still talking. Sorry.
Is that multiple choice, Jimmy?
This is dumb for the radio, but... All right. Mary, prior to Prohibition, most of the taverns and saloons... You know what the dumbest ad on the Super Bowl was? It was Budweiser
yes.
ad.
That was the only beer
It was
ad,
like
wasn't
going
it?
Back to Prohibition. They broke Prohibition, and the first beer everyone had was Bud. I don't know. So this is kind of like that. So prior to Prohibition, most of the taverns and saloons were owned directly by the brewers in what was called a blank system, either two-tier, three-tier.
Oh, three-tier, sorry.
Tied house or brewery controlled.
Before
it was a tight house.
Thank you, Mary. Tight house, yeah. Yeah. Because if most of the taverns and saloons were owned directly by the brewers and what was called, that's a tight house. It was kind of like they had in England for a while, right?
Yeah.
You know, they were. That's why he doesn't get it.
The record show.
But now it's 3-2. All right, next one. This is for Annie because she's a Cicerone person. Imperial style beers derive their name from. The King of England, the Russian Imperial Court, British magistrates in India, celebration of the Chinese New Year during the 1800s.
Catherine the Great, B.
Empire, Russian Imperial Court.
Correct. Correct.
All right. Now, the last one for Chris Kuzme of New York City Homebrewers Guild. Chris, which president passed legislation to include
Jimmy
beer?
Carter.
All right. Oh yeah,
well, that's a no-brainer for homebrewers. So,
you guys passed, Patrick. You've got a great
I think
panel.
You said before Prohibition or after Prohibition? Sorry,
you have Hold a good on. Panel here.
For the listeners, could you finish the end of the question?
We're done. Jimmy Carter, homebrewing. All right, cool. Now I get the Montauk guys who are like, what the hell? What do we walk into? What kind of show is this? You're with the Brain Trust guys. We got, you know, Cicerone. What's the website for Cicerone, Ann?
Cicerone.org. Cicerone.org.
And then what? BJCP.org.
Yes.
And is there a New York City Homebrewers Guild site?
NYCHomebrew.com.
Yeah.
And getrealny.com.
You go to these sites, you're going to learn a lot as well as going to goodbeerseal.com. So there's a lot of information out there for you guys just starting up. Now we're going to give you guys a hard time. All right. This is my thing.
Let's go.
Okay. There's so many people making beers right now, and I'm starting to feel like that. I can't even sell close to half the beers I want to. What do you think about the market, and what do you feel like coming in as a new brewery? Excited?
Yeah, we're definitely excited. I mean, this is a project that we've been working on the last 3 years, and we cannot wait to actually get out and be able to, you know, put our beer out in some bars. If we can get our beer in your bar, we'd be extremely happy.
So what are you waiting for?
Basically, we've got everything lined up. It's not so much waiting on anything but, you know, licensing, getting the beer in the brewed and out actually in the market. We're set for it.
Yeah, Eric's been the beer designer, you know, the brewmaster, and Joe and I have kind of headed up the paperwork trail that's seemingly... Oh, it's pretty overwhelming, the paperwork for this, but we're nearing completion. You know, we have some significant permits in place, and We're waiting on a couple more, so we're thinking late spring we'll be ready for operation, and we'll be able to get our beer out to the public. But we've had people from the city and you know, East Hampton and beyond, you know, Mid Island and New York City, Manhattan area, contact us and said, you know, we heard about you guys, we want your beer now. And we would love to get it to them. You know, we want to get it to everybody, but you know, it's going to be this summer, I think.
All right.
When did you? I mean, what is the rough time frame from beginning to homebrew at all to, you know, deciding to do this officially, and then where are we at in that
time-wise? We probably homebrewed for, I don't know, maybe like 6 or 8 months, kind of loosely, you know, every now and then. And then all of a sudden it became time to, you know, really put our heads down, start coming up with some, you know, good beers, you know, bought a bunch of books, did a lot of research, and really started, you know, building on our idea.
Yeah, basically. Eric had started, he went to Colorado at Boulder, and he had some equipment from some, you know, friends there, and you know, homebrewing and beer is huge out there, and he kind of headed our beer design process, and Joe and I, you know, followed his lead, and we brewed in our basement for a while, and yeah, it was Eric's been the mastermind behind the
going back batches. To the ESB, Eric, is your recipe, right?
Yeah.
Where you said this is like what, the fourth batch of the ESB pilot batch, and where is it?
You
where,
know,
where do you want it to go from here, or do you think you found
it? We brewed it 4 times, but 4 different ways, I guess. And you know, where do I want it to go? I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, kind of staying in the same direction. I mean, I kind of want an ESB with a, you know, obviously, like I said before, a bit of an American twist, and, you know, American hops, I think, a little bit more carbonation. And
successful. It's great.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to have a live beer and pretzel tasting on Beer Sessions Radio when we come back.
All right, Lena, get in there. We're going to do this.
When you touch my hand and talk sweet talk, I got a knocking in my knees and a wobble in my walk. I'm trembling and I'm shaking. And when you take me in your arms to talk romance, my heart stops though and the stink batters dance. And I'm patting and I'm shaking. Early in the morning time, late in the middle of the night, whenever this chill comes over me, I wanna hug it with all of my might. And I'm sweating and I'm shaking. Your head spin around and your feet run cold. I got fever and I'm shaking. Feel like I've been run through the mill. I can't move around and I can't stand still. I'm so jittery and I'm shaking.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're here at Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn, a very cool spot. Usually every night after our show, Tuesdays at 6, we'll sit down and have dinner, pizza, steak for two, and the works. It's a pretty cool place. We're happy to be here tonight. Again, we've got a packed house. I'm going to tell you guys, just go say into the mic your name and where you're from, because this is a really cool show. Start with Chris.
My name is Chris Kuzmi. My father's Ecuadorian.
Mary, go. Come on. You got to go fast. Let's go.
All right. Mary Izette. I'm the president of New York City Homebrewers Guild.
I'm Patrick Donahue, and I like beer.
I'm Lena Kolchinsky. I'm originally from Moscow, Zygmunt's Pretzel Shop.
I'm Anne Vizera. I also like beer.
Joe Sullivan from Montauk Brewing Company. Excited to be here.
Eric Moss, also from Montauk Brewing Company.
Vaughn Cotillo, Montauk Brewing Company.
All right, and Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. This is an awesome group, and we got the challenge here. We've got the folks from Get Real New York, and they're going to do some beer and pretzel tastings. We're going to taste, Mary, what beers did you bring? And we also have the ESB from Montauk.
So I brought 2 smoked beers. I bought the Grotzer that I mentioned before, and then the other smoked beer is the Victory Otto, which is, I actually haven't had. It's been out for a while. It was a one-time batch, I believe, at least. I mean, it's limited edition this year.
Oh, yeah.
Nice sound.
That was official.
So we're going to start with, what should we start with? We have different pretzels. Lena, what pretzels did you bring?
I brought the traditional Sultan. I have truffle cheddar, probably will overwhelm any drink. I have a feta olive and garlic parsley. Here's my question to you guys. Do you feel that the beers in general a good drink to pair with food?
Absolutely.
I'm asking it because this is what I'm getting. I get asked a lot. I'm not a bar, but I do serve beer in our store in Village. So this is something that people have no idea what to do with. They're more used to wine and food pairings.
Well, Mary, what do you look for? Tell this. What do you, Mary and Ann, what do you guys look for when you do a beer and food pairing?
Personally, either something that's either complements, you know, complementary, if there's something that has a little bit of spice or a little bit of smoke, a little sweetness, or the exact opposite, something that, you know, completely contrasts. So if there's something really, you know, rich and full, then you want something a little more refreshing. I mean, it really just depends. I think that's why I think beer is so great to pair with, because there aren't that strict of rules. You can really have fun with it, kind of experiment and play around. And but pretzels, I mean, these I'm kind of excited for the smoked beer and jalapeno pretzel pairing I'm about to eat.
Also, with beer, there's a huge range of flavors. So you can have, and our favorite reaction, the Maillard reaction. So where you get, you know, with barbecue or bacon or toast, you get this amazing, you know, toasty grilled meat flavor that you don't get in wine. So you get wonderful harmonious flavors with beer because some of the malt in beer also go through that same same reaction. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, you know, and also pretzel. I mean, it's the perfect bar food, right? It's carbohydrates, it's starch, it's
salty.
Yeah, salty. So
I think it's also a very nice backdrop for a strong flavored drink.
Yeah, well, especially because your pretzels, you have such a variety of flavors. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, everything from the standard pretzel, which pretty much pairs with any kind of
Absolutely,
beer.
Yeah.
And then you have all the specialty flavors, which I think, you know, really calls for some of the nice, you know, flavors in craft beer.
So, Mary, what are we drinking first? The first beer out is what?
So, well, I had poured the that new Grotzer, which is from Be United. That I think actually is pretty. It's got some nice tart sour notes and a little bit of smoke behind it. It's a lower alcohol beer, so I think actually that would pair very. I mean, that would obviously go very well with it. The straight up pretzel. Now, which is the pretzel that I'm?
That's a feta olive.
Feta olive.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that is beautiful, and I actually think that the Fritz Breem Grotzer would go very nicely with that because that sour kind of contrast with that's.
It's a feta.
It's a feta, mm-hmm. right? So feta is kind of sour, so there's like a harmonious pairing between the sour and the feta and the sour and the Grotzer. Yet, obviously, the smoked quality of the beer is a nice contrast to the olive and the pretzel and the salt. What do you think, Chris Kuzme?
I agree.
Yeah, the beer and pretzels is a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. This is awesome
yeah.
combo.
Yeah, and going back really quickly back to the Maillard reaction and you know what Anne said about contrast and harmony. Beer has the inherent ability to do both at the same time, and that's what makes beer so awesome. You can have the contrasting ability of just the carbonation and the hops being sprightly, while having that Maillard reaction be the exact same flavor components that especially works in pretzels because of that kind of toasted bread kind of thing.
Yep.
And so here agreed, especially with the feta, and I, unfortunately it was so delicious I drank my Grotzer and I don't have it to try. I agree with that sentiment, but right now I'm actually having the ESB, the Montauk ESB, with just the natural pretzel, and it's awesome.
Lena, what's this pretzel here, the dark one?
You see?
It's a little darker than the other one.
It's very dark in here.
Lena brought three
pretzels. It's a garlic parsley.
Three pretzels, and they all look different. One of them looks like a pretzel. One looks like a dark pretzel. One looks like a pretzel with cheese in the middle. Right?
Yeah.
Good description.
This is close. And that'll be a feta. Yeah. Funny, it's a really funny thing. The beer gardens, something that usually serves a lot of different beers and has very poor food menu. The most common menu item is popcorn,
right.
Chips, chicken wings. I can't tell why. Is it the traditional thing to drink here with the Budweiser, and then it just somehow continued to stay on the menu now that people even have good selection of beers. But I'm surprised to see how little effort is in general in the city is put into food menus in majority of places who already spend time on beer programs.
It's true.
Well, your pretzels are a great addition. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of bars, if they bought your pretzels, they would definitely be, step up on the food. What's this beer we have now, Mary? It's a Victory something?
Yeah, it's a Victory Auto. Mm.
Yeah.
So I only know this is a smoked beer. I've been told about this, but I can't remember right now. But, I mean, Victory does an amazing thing. They have
fire or something?
Yes.
So this is another smoked beer.
Yes. So Victory actually does, Bill Kovaleski over there, does some amazing smoked beers.
In Pennsylvania, right?
Yes. Yeah. And he does some stuff. I mean, he uses 100% Bamberg malt, which is crazy from a home brewer's perspective.
For all his beers?
No. But for some of his smoked beers.
Specialty beers.
But yeah, just to be able to make a beer that's from 100% smoked malt is amazing in America. I don't know that there's probably a handful of breweries that do that.
This is a nice beer. It reminds me of the Special Rauch.
Yeah. So exactly, and he's using
from
that
Shelton Brothers.
Yeah, and he's using that same.
So it's like an ale. I would say, tell me if I'm wrong, Annie. It's an ale that just has a hint of smoke, with a little bit of complexity, but it's still really drinkable and really great with
definitely
food.
Definitely an ale.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, and that's what Special Rauch is. You know, there's everyone has their Schlenkerla beers, which can be like hugely smoky.
Yeah.
And the Special Rauch and this Victory Auto they're very subtle.
Yeah. And made with that smoke malt from Bamberg, but it's done very well, right? It's pretty smooth. It's got a little bit of sweetness. It's got a decent amount of smokiness.
My theory is that if you're using a smoke malt, you can de-emphasize things like hops.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still have, like, what it does, I think, on the palate, it gets real kind of prickly and it does something to your mouth similar to what a hop might do. Gives you a little more flavor, but
right.
it's more from the malt than from the hops. We were talking about this when we had the guys from Bronx Brewery on. They talked a lot about how they really picked their malt mix. And I don't know if you guys are thinking that way, Eric. But what do you guys think about a malt mix and how important that is to your beer?
I don't know. We've just basically been screwing around with it. We switch it up. You know, I've said we've brewed this one, four times so far, And, every little time it's, mixed up and
I think you're
trying to get the right mix.
I think you've done well with this ESB. I think that the grist is in particular is what identifies that this is an ESB, having that little peanut butter and Maris Otter flavor. Otherwise, it probably I would loop it into an American Pale Ale.
Yeah.
If it didn't have that peanut butter character.
We tried it out the first time, actually, fresh hop beer. Just before Hurricane Irene came this year, we had 75 hop plants at a farm in Amagansett and had to harvest all of them before the hurricane actually came out. So when everyone else was boarding up for the hurricane, we were out there harvesting our hops. So that was our first ESB batch, and it turned out awesome. We were really happy with it.
Yeah, when people, Montauk, hurricanes are kind of nothing out there, but everybody was kind of boarding up, and we were, out brewing the beer. Just we harvested, and then probably 20 hours later we were brewing with the hops that we just harvested. It was kind of a funny scene, people driving by trying to leave Montauk, and we were outside and running around trying to get the
That's
beer
awesome.
Right.
yeah,
but it worked out. I mean, the beer's been good for us.
Sweet. Hey, can I have a little more of that Victory Auto?
Yeah, that Victory is really good.
So where did you get this beer, Mary? I haven't even heard of it. Did you get it at a bottle shop, one of the great bottle shops in the city?
So actually, I got this at Whole Foods Bowery, but I know there were limited kegs and limited bottles available. Actually, I don't even know if they kegged. I think they did. But very limited bottles available. It's a delicious beer.
One of my favorite things about this style, too, with the smoked beers, it's an amazing beers, the style of beer is amazing to pair with food.
Yep.
And a lot of times I'll introduce someone to a smoked beer for the first time and it's immediate knee-jerk reaction. They either love it or they hate it. That's bacon. What is this? I'm not drinking, bacon beer. And then they'll have it with something with like a gamey, a venison chili or a smoky bacon or something. And suddenly it just, that whole like scary element goes away. Yeah, Mary's perfect. And then the Ryan gets tickets to get real to eat our pigs and drink our smoke beers. Exactly. No, but this is a really good, and there's like the Schlenker Lahellas, I think, is the perfect intro. You know, just slightly smoked. It's kind of a gateway drug beer. People taste the Helles. They like it a little bit. They, and then more and more and more. And next thing, they're drinking the Rausch beers.
The Schlenker Lahellas. Yeah. Didn't you win a competition recently?
Why, yes, I did. Looking over at Jimmy, as I said, funny you should mention, but that's actually why I picked that, because I'm such a huge fan of smoked beers, and I know they're a little intimidating for people. So, you know, to start off with something as light as the Helles, which is actually not even smoked, it's just in the brewery where they make these smoked beers, so you get that hint, almost like, you know, drinking water out of a lemonade gun. You know, you get that little hint of flavor that's not really there, but kind of is. And it's a good intro. And I think once people taste it, like, that's kind of interesting. I don't know if I like it, but I'll have another sip. And I'll have another sip. And then that's a good place to start food pairings. And then it's like, well, what else can I pair with food?
So,
beer, you know?
Talking about the beer. So last week, Jimmy's number 43, there was the beer cocktail brunch off. And you won the judges award. And the judges were cool. It was Carolyn Edgecombe.
John Nagley.
And John Nagley, mm-hmm. who were part of the whole homebrew circle. Mm-hmm. What was your cocktail?
It was a Dansk Viking Blood Mead, which is a traditional Danish mead, like a thick, syrupy honey wine, just a little bit of that at the base, with the Schlenker Lahellas and a couple dashes of Tabasco, just to give it that kick. And it's, you know, the purpose of it was to have a brunch beer. It's a low alcohol, good hangover beer. That little bit of Tabasco just gives it that kick at the end. And I know you do a lot of really good charcuteries and smoked meats at your restaurant, you know, at the bar. So I think it's a perfect pairing, and I think that's why, you know, you come in, get a nice, refreshing, smoky kick. It's like the equivalent of a beer Bloody Mary. I think it worked out
really
well.
That was really nice. Good. So we're going to wrap it up in a few minutes. First, we're just going to shout out again to these great events coming up. Again, Get Real New York. What is the name of it, Mary?
Apocalypse Now.
And what's the website?
Website is getrealny.com. Getrealny.com. And actually, that website is going to expand very shortly and be launched to be kind of a community website for beer lovers.
All right.
And things. Kind of very, very much expanded.
And Montauk Brewing, guys, anything going on we should know about, or should we keep an eye out for you, or what?
Definitely keep an eye out for us. We're going for the, you know, late spring, like I said. You know, we're finalizing some paperwork now, and I think realistically it's going to be a late spring, early summer, you know, Memorial Day launch for us for the tasting room, and you'll see us out there, definitely.
Yeah, Montauk Brewing Company dot Montauk Brewing Co. .com. Like us on Facebook, and thanks a lot for having us on the show, Jimmy.
All right, and I have to say it's our 100th show, which is pretty cool. That's 2 years worth. I'm going to raise a glass again. Our good friend Ray Dieter, he was a potter of over 70 of them. We miss him dearly, and but we're going forward, and we do love you, Ray, up there in the sky. A couple of shout-outs for some events coming up at our Good Beer Seal bars, our buddies. Mission Dolores, which is a really cool beer bar in Brooklyn. They're doing a Brooklyn Brewmaster Reserve event February 21st. It includes a 2009 Monster Ale, Amabianda, 2007 Black Chocolate Stout. That's cool. You know, isn't it cool when there's some vintage beers are good. I do find that a lot of the really special beers, like the other day I got a Far Out La Rules La Grande. It was like a Belgian triple with American hops. And when I opened it, I was like, you know what? This is a great keg, but this would be better in six months or a year. So I think that, you know, at some point, hopefully more places like Mission Dolores will offer tasting of vintage beers, which is cool. We're going to give a shout-out. There's a new event coming up on March 3rd. They're kind of new to the beer scene, but we think it's going to be a good event. It's the Handcrafted Tasting Company is gearing up for the first New York City American Craft Beer Festival on March 3rd at the Lexington Avenue Armory in New York City. The festival features 150 beers from 75 breweries, accompanied by food, music, and knowledgeable people to guide you through each selection. Each of the two sessions will include seminars with industry personalities. Our good friend Sam Merritt of Civilization of Beer and author of Brewed Awakening, Josh Bernstein, will be giving seminars. There's also a chocolate and beer pairing with author Clay Gordon that's programmed by us, Beer Sessions Radio. Your ticket allows you access to these seminars and more on a first-come, first-served basis. Also, there's Adam Levy, the founder of the New York International Beer Competition. He'll be in a Connoisseurs Only special seminar. So check it out, New York City Craft Beer Fest.com, NYC Craft Beer Fest.com. You know, they're new players on the scene. We'll see what they can do. We're looking forward to that event. And again, and thanks to everyone else. Again, GreatBrewers.com, our sponsor, GoodBrewSeal.com. Check it out. Homebrewers out there, you have just one more day to drop off your qualifying submissions for the Brooklyn Wart, which is on April 28th. That's BrooklynWart.com. And in closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors. We said it again, but we'll say it one more time. GreatBrewers.com, thanks for keeping us on the air. Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Beer Seal. Thanks to Vaughn. I'll say this. I'll say your name, and then you say, hey, Vaughn.
Hey.
Joe. Eric. Patrick. Lena. Chris. Hey. Mary.
Hey, what's up?
All right. Hey. Thanks for being here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, guest coordinator, Brett Thompson. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Cheers.
Sorry for the sponsorship pitch, but they did give us...
More to the point, roll out the barrel and lend me your ears.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Vodka puts my mouth in gear. This little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.